Sandy Keeley, service staff.
Bob Jacobson, Newport.
Jim Meyer on Oregon Trail.
Gail Danvers, Eugene Water, Leonardport.
Ted Lawrence in Department of Forestry.
Ed Bowles, Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Linda Gatto, staff.
Thanks for being here to all of you. I think that we were going to, Representative Jensen up, you got him?
About, he doesn't want us to call until about 1:35, 1:45, so we can...
We have a relatively limited agenda today. Really, the primary topic of discussion is try to clean up the final definition of the word recovery. At the last session, I appointed a subcommittee to work on this. Don, I think you were on that. Ted, Ed, I think there are several others who aren't here today. But Ted, I'm going to ask you to carry the discussion on this because I was not involved in that loop and you were, and so I'm going to turn it over to you.
Most of the debate on the definition was via email, and actually, as we took the framework for recovery that came out of our previous meeting that was different than what we had developed earlier, several things popped up in our email discussions. The first issue was that this definition focused on fundamentally fish that have been listed, and what about non-listed fish? And I think we wrestled that issue eventually to the ground. The second issue, which we may not have totally wrestled to the ground, but I guess I think we've got a relatively good framework, is the notion of populations and groups of populations and the context of those in terms of listings. And so we wrestled that to the ground, had a range of different opinions, but that was probably, from a technical standpoint, the biggest point of debate, because we do have groups of populations that are listed, and I think we always intended that within those units that there needs to be some portion of populations that are abundant and adequate to maintain the notion of self-sustaining into the future. A third issue that came up was the issue of basically being true to our charge, which was to define recovery. And if that is the case, then how does populations above and beyond that level that we described as providing associated environmental, cultural, and economic benefits fit or not? And then the final issue, which actually was something that came out of recommendations from NIMS staff, was what about hatchery-reared individuals? And they gave a hypothetical example to argue their case. And in the interest of encouraging this further discussion on this topic, I did throw in some language that was substantially modified based upon further review of other interests. But that's 2C, which basically is populations able to survive without regular infusion of hatchery-reared individuals.
Let me interrupt you there. Are you working off draft 4A?
The Chilcote edits, yeah.
Chilcote edits.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the final definition that I produced based upon the last bit of comment. Probably.
John, do you and John have that in front of you?
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say by including all these ideas, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were all endorsed by the folks that commented on it. It's fair to say that we have a difference of opinion, but everybody felt that these ideas were clearly worthy of discussion. Another advantage, I think, of going through this process, it did result in, I think, some better critical thinking about the notion of populations and listed units to probably better articulate at least the framework of what we're talking about that we probably missed in the original definition as well. So we would have had to wrestle with that problem anyways. Just kind of start with the basic definition. The way we have it written now is, recovery means that constituent populations of naturally produced fish belonging to a listed unit, which is defined, are sufficiently abundant, productive, and diverse in terms of life histories and distribution that the listed unit as a whole is self-sustaining. And that gets to the model, I think, that Mark laid out for the Lower Columbia River Coho, where the ESU, or the listed unit under the State Endangered Species Act, included 7 populations, if I recall correctly, and for their purpose recovery meant, I believe, 3 of those populations being fully recovered, and that would have been adequate, didn't require all 7 of the populations being fully recovered. And I think that framework fits with the concept we had in mind. In defining self-sustaining, obviously that's where we get into the crux of the issue. I think there's good agreement that self-sustaining should mean able to survive prolonged periods of poor ocean climatic and environmental conditions. Under 2B, I think there's agreement in terms of the habitat of sufficient quality and quantity to enable the persistence to naturally produce fish. Where the debate then comes is this: does that also include appropriately a consideration of something above and beyond that in consideration of other benefits? And that was, we had agreed upon that parenthetical there in the original definition. It wasn't in parens. The discussion that we had, some folks raised, well, when you really think about it, our charge in the context of recovery, you know, may constrain us from wanting to go there. And I think there's at least 2 arguments to say that there are good reasons to keep it in there. First, if you don't consider how you're going to provide for those other benefits and make sure that you do have sufficient habitat in terms of quality and quantity, you're going to drive your fish populations down. So it is a consideration. And it doesn't set any particular target there, so it basically, I think, provides it as a kind of advisory notion anyway. So I think that also argues for maintenance of that. Under C, the concern that came up as well, gee whiz, what happens if you have to maintain a population through constant infusions of hatchery individuals? That really isn't recovery. And indeed, if you have a population that needs that, you probably haven't met all your other standards. And conversely, if you are continuing to regularly infuse fish and it's not producing anything above and beyond what you really need, it's really not part of self-sustaining either. So you can argue it either way. The way I tried to write it to cut the baby in half, though, was to write it so are able to survive without regular, and it should be infusions of hatchery-reared individuals, so it doesn't preclude some infusion, but it says without regular infusion. So the notion that I, again, trying to split the baby, if you listen to all the arguments, is that it doesn't preclude some infusion of hatchery-reared individuals under limited circumstances, but that the populations are overall able to survive without it. And so that was kind of the splitting the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. In terms of the definitions then, for population, a little bit of debate about that, probably less so than listed unit. And I tried there to basically make that a notion of a grouping of 1 or more populations, using the ESU as an example, but not the only possibility there. Some people suggest, what about the species management unit that's being used or proposed under the native fish policy under ODF&W's new rules? But that doesn't solve the problem any better than using ESU as an example either.
Example.
Yeah, so just an example. But I think from a technical standpoint, listed unit meets both technical and legal sense in the context of recovery. So that was the framework we produced based upon the range of input. And again, it's fair to say that there isn't consensus on this. Generally, the feedback is, it looks pretty good to me type of statements, but but, you know, but, there's always the buts, and probably those buts focus on 2B and 2C in most cases.
Open it up for discussion. Jim?
Well, first of all, Ted, I want to thank you and the other participants in this discussion for bringing us to this point. It certainly has helped make our job a little easier today.
Chair, second, sir.
I think you've certainly attempted to address all of the issues that were raised in the various email messages from everybody. I guess my question at this point is, obviously these are Mark's edits, so I would assume then that ODFW is comfortable with this definition. Maybe you could just validate that, Ed, and from your perspective, tell me if you think that this is consistent with the Native Fish Conservation Policy and what's going on there.
We are on. Yes, ODFW has looked this over, and as you mentioned, Mark Chilcote has participated as a member of this group in helping craft the language. We are comfortable with this, and it is consistent with the definitions or the approach that we have in the Native Fish Conservation Policy. As you recall, we did not attempt to define recovery in Oregon Administrative Rules for the Native Fish Policy, awaiting the work from this task force. This would be something that could fit in there. Now, by saying that, I'm not implying, though, that this is the only definition we would accept. It is certainly on the mark, no pun intended, but it is one that we're willing to talk about.
Okay, very quick question for you. While you didn't define recovery, you did define, as I recall, the word sustainable. Is your definition of sustainable correlate closely enough with our definition of self-sustaining, or are those two terms different?
The terms are close, but we did not have the qualifier on it of self-sustaining. And so what we did was we defined sustainable as being the short answer, persistence over time, and then the long answer being quite a superfluous response about more of a technical comment that gets at primarily A and B and does not explicitly address C within your definition of self-sustaining. And the issue of self-sustaining takes it one step further, which basically equates, which is appropriate for recovery, because if tools are used to get you to recovery, then at what point, you know, some of these tools, do they stop, or are they to be continued indefinitely in order to maintain recovery? And that's the big question.
Further questions regarding definition?
I have one. Yeah. I have to do with 2B, and it's more of a grammar check. I don't think it's an intent to change it. I'm not sure if the reference to the environmental, cultural, and economic benefits are to be tied to habitat or to the fish population. Because the way it's worded now, it appears to be tied to the fish habitat. I thought the intent was that we wanted a naturally producing fish population. And I would change it, take the and two out, but in that provide, in other words, that the fish population provides the environmental, cultural, and economic benefit. But I'm not sure. I think there's just a semantics issue.
Mr. Chair, I think from an intent standpoint, Gail is right, that is not meant to be linked explicitly to the habitat, but instead to the fish populations themselves.
Comment?
Yeah, you know, we had, I think, similar discussion earlier. I think we were trying to in part argue that the habitat in the context of populations, needs to produce more than just the minimum level of fish, but also to provide associated environmental culture benefits, and that would flow from the fish populations. I think it works for me either way. Again, the parenthetical, I think, ultimately, if you decide to keep this, probably the parenthetical part needs to be dropped, and to however connection you want to make it would be appropriate either way, in my opinion. The one place where Mark was not, I mean, basically his preference was to drop the words in parentheses, but I think that it, again, like I said, there's at least two good arguments for wanting, for arguing to keep it. If, I think part of his argument fundamentally is that when it comes just strictly to recovery and our charge there, that, you know, habitat that enables persistence is all we're really charged to do in a recovery. It doesn't need more than that. Everything else is something above and beyond that. I think the alternative argument is that if you know you're going to have other benefits that can adversely affect the population, you better plan for those too, or it will result in never having recovery. So it works either way. I think you can argue it on both sides. I guess I concluded I don't care. I think it's a subtlety. It works either way for me, and I think how it connects either the habitat or populations, that is kind of habitat equals fish, fish equals benefits. It all comes out in the end.
A comment on that particular point from anybody? Don?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the recommendation that was suggested by Gail, and that is to take the parentheses out, delete and to, and put that provide associated environmental, cultural, and economic benefits. Again, the concept being that the fish provide these benefits, and that's part of natural producing populations. That's the type of a level of populations that, at least from the tribe perspective, we're looking for. It's definitely referenced as John provided in his memo in the Endangered Species Act that recovery levels, restoration levels are tied to benefits in our society. It needs to be included. And so I also have a comment later, Mr. Chairman, on item C that I'd provide when it's appropriate.
Let's hold those comments, Don. I appreciate that. Jim, your comment on that potential change in wording, dropping the parentheses and replacing and to with that under 2B.
Yeah, that's fine with me. That makes it clear that it's the fish that are providing those benefits.
Any objection to that change? Let's just go ahead and make that. Drop the parentheses, delete the words and to, replace those words with the word that.
And just on the issue of the additional benefits there, the cultural, economic, environmental, while it may be above and beyond the technical level of just ESA recovery, I think it's appropriate for us to include that because it's consistent with the goals of the Oregon Plan, consistent with the dual mission of the Department of Fish and Wildlife and with the mission of NIMS as well. So,
Liz, if you have any comments, feel free to raise your hand, speak up as we go along.
Thank you.
Let's jump into then 2C. John, you had an email this morning, I think, that addressed that issue. Don, you indicated you wanted to comment on it. Why don't you proceed on it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the point is, if the intent of this is to talk about impacts from artificial means, artificial propagation is definitely one of those. And I think that the fact that we're focusing on hatcheries is one of the tools and one of the artificial means that we use to protect and restore, recover fish. I think that's only one point. And if we're going to really take a look at what's going on. It's one of the points that was discussed previously, is perhaps we should look at the broader spectrum. Artificial propagation, artificial transportation, artificial passage, all of those things have an impact on these fish that are artificial in their nature. They're not natural. They're not the natural habitats of these fish. So I guess what I'm suggesting, either we eliminate C altogether or we expand it to incorporate those other artificial means by which these fish are surviving. Now, that's a huge impact. People don't want to talk about artificial transportation barging of fish populations, but that's what we're doing under the Endangered Species Act. And that has an effect on their genetics, has effects on their diversity. We know that very clearly. Passage, when we are providing spill and flow at dams, I'm primarily dealing with the main stem Columbia River, when we provide flow and spill at dams, as far as the artificial passage, we selectively impact populations. So when we transport, so I think those are a couple of means. If you want to expand that definition, then let's take a look at all of the artificial means by which we improve survival of these fish populations. Otherwise, let's not include them at all. We believe that supplementation is a means to help recover these populations and will be a means to help recover these populations beyond the levels that we're talking about under the Endangered Species Act. So, Mr. Chairman, that's kind of my conceptual point, and either we expand it or we eliminate it.
John, if you care to follow up on that, then I'll open it up for
Don said it pretty well, and that is that we have a situation of a highly controlled river, and in order to mitigate or in order to address or offset some of those mortalities that occur as a result of that river, those operations, we may need to keep stewarding or supporting natural production for a period of time above the dams. And that's simply a means of stewardship. It shouldn't be a criteria for delisting, and that is that you don't need those in order to have delisting or have recovery. We're going to continue to use these other tools. Why should hatcheries be singled out, especially supplementation kind of approaches, as one of those tools that we can have in order to have a recovery population?
Thank you, John. For our two members who just walked in, we're working off draft 4A Chilcote edits. We have made a change in 2B, minor technical change. In the second line of 2B, the original wording was populations, parentheses, and to provide associated environmental, cultural, and economic benefits, parentheses. We dropped the parentheses and replaced and to with the word that. We are now on 2C, and we've just opened this discussion on that issue.
Mr. Chair, I tend to concur with the comments that were just made about supplementation not just being infusion of hatchery fish, but the word regular bothers me a little bit as not maybe being precise enough, because if you did the same thing every time to each population or enough of the time that it would be considered regular, then given that we have so many stocks that are depressed, it seems like hatchery infusion could be viewed as a regular practice. So I just would suggest that we find a more precise word. It seems to me like it's continuous or indefinite infusion of hatchery fish that's the issue, and not that they might be, that might not be a useful adjunct to recovery at some particular point in time.
Liz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would Looking back over, just now, the email transmittal from, is this one from Robin Lake to you, or you were just, okay, you were just that here? Oh, okay.
Thank you. I thought it might help to review Robin's transmittal, and that what Robin has suggested really was to get more at the issue of sufficient habitat quantity and quality. Rather, its intent was not to preclude hatchery fish as a recovery tool. And this may be clarified by, I'm just going to read his suggestion was to, and I understand what you were trying to do with adding C, what he was suggesting was to work with the text in item B and say that habitat is of sufficient quality and quantity to maintain naturally produced fish populations without the regular infusion of captively reared individuals and to provide associated environmental, cultural, and economic benefits. So the intent there was to ensure a sufficient quality and quantity of habitat so that we would not find ourselves in a situation where we did not have sufficient quantity and quality of habitat, and in order to meet targets, we had to have the infusion of hatchery fish. So that speaks to me, and forgive me, I haven't had the chance to speak with Robin. I came back very late last night and just saw John's concerns this morning. I was on vacation. But I think that that's an important distinction. It wasn't a singling out of that as a practice. It really was pertaining to the habitat quality and quantity. So I might offer that as a suggested way to consider this as the way it was originally sent to Robin. The intent was not to include supplementation as a recovery tool at all. In fact, we are expecting that in particular, in order to meet environmental, cultural, and economic benefits, that we are going to need a supplementation to do that. So I hope that helps to offer a little bit of perspective.
Thanks, Liz. Any comments,
Mr. Chairman,
with regard to
Then in that regard, there's probably not a need to add C to that. Is that correct?
Right.
There's no reason to say population able to survive without the regular infusion of hatchery individuals if the intent is habitat of sufficient quality and quantity. That addresses everything that I just spoke to, and that is artificial propagation, artificial transportation, artificial passage.
I think that's right. And bear with me while I flip through some of these some of the progression here. But I think that's right. Robin was originally concerned, as I indicated, about the habitat of sufficient quality and quantity. And I might go on, if it would help, to share the example that he provided.
We all have a copy of that.
You do?
I'm on front of the
screen. Oh, okay. I didn't get it. I'm kind of at the tag end. I don't think I'm on your original mailing list.
So, John, did I hear you say that if we included B that Liz referred to in Robin's memo of November 12th, that would answer your concerns that you had stated earlier?
I have a copy that is November 12th. It says, without the regular infusion of captive reared individuals, that needs to be deleted, that bold that was proposed. Because what I had just explained is that under the Chilcote edits 4A that I have, or actually the one that Ted provided of draft 4, habitat is of sufficient quality and quantity to maintain naturally produced fish populations and and to, or that provide for, whatever the term was we had said, that provide associated environmental, cultural, economic benefits, and that C is no longer necessary, and that in 2B, it's not necessary to have without the regular infusion of captively reared individuals. Because it implies that the habitat is sufficient quality and quantity to address issues that I had mentioned, artificial propagation, artificial passage, and transportation.
Mr. Chair?
Ed?
I agree with Don that this really should not fundamentally be about singling out the hatchery tool per se. I think the piece that's missing, if we take out the without the regular infusion piece within there, is the distinction that what we're really after here is it's a productivity issue, survivability issue. And for recovery, in my mind as a fish manager, to check off the list for recovery means that the productivity of the naturally produced fish is enough to sustain itself. That means you have fixed enough of the causes of decline that you can step back and say we've recovered this. The role of the hatcheries in augmenting the numbers of naturally produced fish, to me, is a side issue, and it is a valuable potential tool in doing that. But it's still the second piece to this. You know, you want to increase sufficient, you know, quality and quantity. You can take a look at B, habitat as a sufficient quality and quantity to maintain, well, I guess that's the wrong one here, to enable. To enable the persistence of naturally produced fish populations, and rather than linking it necessarily to the hatchery piece, is why don't we instead link it to the sufficient productivity or survival to allow the species to persist, the population to persist. Because then what we're getting at is fish naturally produced, completing their life cycle at productivity rates that are above replacement over the long term is what we're talking about. And the hatchery issue is secondary to that. We don't even need to bring that to bear, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an observation that really hadn't come to mind earlier.
Let me ask you for a point of clarification. Under your new definitions in the Native Fish Conservation Park policy, second generation hatchery fish are considered
wild.
Naturally
produced. Which is consistent with the state of Oregon law, or at least rule, which is law.
Jim and then Ted.
If I'm reading Robin's memo correctly, his suggestion in proposing this regular infusion language in the first place was the fact that, as currently written, the definition skirted the issue of hatchery fish completely. It just didn't refer to hatchery fish. We can choose to do that, and I'd probably be comfortable with just skirting the hatchery fish issue in this definition, because of the fact that the self-sustaining definition goes back to number one, the definition of recovery in the first place, and recovery is the condition of the naturally produced fish in the system. So, that's what self-sustaining is based on. If you don't have a sufficient number of naturally produced fish in the system, you're not at recovery, regardless of what the methods are that you're using for fish restoration. And until you get to the point where you have a sufficient number of naturally produced fish in the system, you're not at recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether we talk about the hatchery tool or not in this definition.
Okay.
Well, I tried to be as true to what Robin was saying as possible, and I do think he was arguing that we just skirted the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is that we actually, you know, if you look at the hierarchy, how we organize the logic train here, we haven't. And it gets to Jim's point, is that we've defined naturally produced fish in a way that we tried to make as compatible with Oregon's policy as possible. Fundamentally, there's got to be enough habitat so that you have a population of fish that reproduce and complete their full life cycle to meet the standard of recovery. And it does it in the context of enough populations within the listed unit. It doesn't require that all populations be that. So I think the logic train is that you can use hatchery reared individuals for all sorts of purposes, consistent with the definition, but ultimately the standard for the bar is there enough habitat, amongst other things, to where there's enough naturally produced fish to sustain themselves in the context of the whole. So I think we have addressed it. So while I felt I needed to put it in there, I do think that if we, in our earlier discussions, we had intentionally left it out or had dropped it because we had felt we had addressed it. And I think with the way we've defined the populations, mm-hmm. We've even done a better job of making that clear in our obtuse way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, knowing full well what the position that the federal agencies are taking on this issue, it doesn't preclude the use of supplementation for recovery purposes, but the agents, the federal agencies, in my opinion, aren't going to write off on recovery if the population continues to need artificial help.
So Ted, getting back to your comments, summarize for me, if you would, what you just said.
Well, I think fundamentally...
Are you standing on your earlier draft?
Yeah, I felt it was important to be true to Robin's comment that we his sense that we'd skirted the issue of hatchery fish. In my belief is actually we did directly discuss that, and by having the definition of both self-sustaining in combination with naturally produced fish, I think we ultimately make the point that the habitat's got to be adequate to maintain a self-sustaining population of naturally produced fish, and that's kind of the bottom line. So in Robin's example, I think you'd have to conclude that the 100 naturally produced fish would be carrying capacity in terms of available habitat, that's able to sustain itself over time and space, as opposed to requiring supplementation as the threshold. So I think we've addressed it. I think we've also left adequate room there to argue that since it doesn't require that all populations within a listed unit have to be in that mode to be for the whole unit to meet standard recovery, it allows a range of flexibility in terms of how populations in the larger unit are treated. So where you can use supplementation, all sorts of things, and still have a recovered population.
Mr. Chairman, so I think based upon that discussion that just concluded, that we're really back to draft 3, and that 2B would only be changed as suggested by Gail to read that habitat is of sufficient quality and quantity to maintain.
Don, stop right there. Listen, let us all find draft 3 before we go any further and still searching.
Mr. Chair, maybe it'd be easier to just keep on the draft we're at.
Okay.
And cause all you're doing is getting rid of C, really.
Sorry. Yeah, deleting C and replacing N2 and B with that.
Mm-hmm. Which we've already done.
Okay. Mr. Chair, the only thing I would like to add to that is a link within B to the productivity of naturally produced fish sufficient to sustain the species. Because to me, recovery is really, that's what recovery is about, is addressing enough of the factors of decline that you have naturally produced fish productive enough to be at or above replacement over the long haul.
So
there needs to be some link to that without needing to cross-reference that to hatcheries or anything else, because that's fundamentally what recovery's about, is productivity.
How about?
Survivability. And I don't want to now get into a situation where we have to define productivity. We could take the simple route and use the term survival. Productivity expands that to include the fecundity and other aspects, but we could just simply refer to survival probably and get the message out.
Why don't you just say maintain the survival of naturally produced fish?
Representative Jensen, can you hear okay?
It's very weak. Can you hear me?
No.
Yes.
So, Ted, let me get back to your suggested change. If we look at 2B, habitat is of sufficient quantity, quality, and quantity to enable the survival of naturally produced fish populations. Is that the potential change that you...
It really needs to be persistence, can simply refer to numbers of fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the right words just now with me because it's a new idea, but we need to link that. I would say that after enable the persistence of naturally produced fish populations, I would say at sufficient or at survival rate sufficient to either maintain the species or to, I don't want to get into a technical term of replacement. I'm confident I could craft this language
in the next 5 minutes,
order.
Good.
I'll give it a try.
Yes.
I'll give you a straw man here in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. Let's entertain further comments on that suggestion to change. Jim?
I was just going to comment that I would be comfortable with removing C with the clarification of Ed's survivability in B.
Okay.
Kind of one of them.
Mr. Chairman?
Liz?
I will join Jim in that. It's all that I came to say. I think the concept of productivity, yes, yet at survival and persistence, is very important. And I, as much as I appreciate what Robin was doing with his suggestion, I don't think that we are not ready, and I don't think we want to drag this definition through, speaking not only to hatcheries but to the other tools to enable persistence in the long term at this time. I will point out as well that, as people know, we are working on a hatchery listing policy, and also to follow that will be a policy on uses of hatcheries in recovery. And you know, that might provide a helpful, our working through that policy might provide a helpful venue for working on this issue. Thank you.
Good. Further comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
You know, there's a reference here to naturally produced fish means fish that reproduce and complete their full life cycle in natural habitats. And it's one of our comments on the Native Fish Conservation Policy of Oregon, and I don't know if there is a definition of natural habitats in here, either in terms of recovery or within the Native Fish Conservation Policy. Obviously, reservoirs in the mainstem Columbia are not natural habitats. Clear cuts in the headwaters are not natural habitats. So I don't know where that is defined. And I think it's something, you know, maybe Ed has some ideas on that.
Mr. Chair, Don, I think we should avoid it within this definition. And if we get at this through once again, this issue of survivability or productivity of fish completing their life cycle, I think we've taken care of it without trying to get into that slippery slope of what's a natural habitat. If naturally produced fish are completing their life cycle at levels of replacement or above over the long term,
mm-hmm.
what's the big deal? I mean, what exactly that habitat looks like? I mean, for us to judge that. As fish managers, that is our mandate from our statute responsibilities.
Okay. Ted, I see that it looks like you're trying to develop a rewrite of 2B. Are you getting close?
2B? Well, Don, are you referring to number 4 there, that we would need to change that? This is something that's already in OARs. And it's...
I think... Ed, I think he was referring to natural habitats in number 4. Is that correct, Don?
Yes.
This is one that has been... It's part of the native fish policy, but it's also part of existing OARs, Oregon Administrative Rules. And, you know, we're open to some other wording of that if you'd like. Right now, we don't perceive this as a threat to a reasonable definition of naturally produced fish.
Further comments? Are we ready with a proposed...
Not yet.
Okay.
Representative Jensen, did you get the fax that I faxed you that says Chilcote Draft 4A?
Yep.
Okay. So that's the document that the members are working on right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you have any questions or comments, Representative Jensen, about what we've been discussing here, what you've heard?
No, go ahead. I'm A, late getting in, and B, the reception wasn't all that good. I'm starting to hear things a little better now. If the people that aren't close to the mic would either get closer to the mic when they speak or speak up a little louder, it'd be very helpful.
Okay, thank you. Jim?
Just a quick comment on the natural habitats issue. I think just simply because a wild smolt comes down the Columbia and goes through the artificial bypass around Bonneville, to me that doesn't mean that fish is no longer a naturally produced fish.
I understand what you're saying, Jeff.
Representative Jensen, if you look at the draft 4A Chilcote edits number 4, Don Sampson brought up the point that he was concerned that the phrase natural habitats had not been defined. And Ed Bowles responded by saying he wasn't sure that needed to be defined at this point in time. Jim Myron just made a comment in relation to that, so that's where the discussion has been on that particular.
What was Jim's comment?
Bob, my comment was that just simply because a wild smolt comes down the Columbia River and happens to be diverted through the smolt bypass system at Bonneville Dam, to me that doesn't negate the fact that fish is still a naturally produced fish.
Okay.
We'll take a couple minute recess here until they come up with their revised draft, unless they're approaching that point at this point in time.
Take the recess.
Okay. Let's recess first.